Good evening and welcome to Atlantic Tales on Clare FM. On today's show, we continue our feature on artisan food producers in County Clare and visit two of the county's best known and award-winning companies. In the 1980s, out of a need to diversify, Sean Fitzgerald changed from dairy farming to cheese making. Sean was a pioneer in sheep dairying, and when Cratlow Hills Sheep's Cheese was established, it became the first Irish-produced sheep's cheese. Establishing a new business from scratch meant that Sean and his wife Deirdre had to persuade people to try and buy their cheese and get retailers to stock it. Always wishing to work with nature, they painstakingly pored over every aspect of the farmhouse cheese manufacturing process and travelled to the Netherlands, England and France to learn from other cheese producers. They brought all that knowledge back to the family farm in Cratlow and, as Sean says, the rest is history.
It all started out, I suppose, like so many other things, started out in necessity. We had an underdeveloped farm and we had to find an enterprise. We identified a niche for sheep's cheese in 1986. We started production in 88 and the rest is history. We're here to tell the tale. It's been an absolutely fascinating road, but one that contains many, many sleepless nights. But personally, I wouldn't change a bit of it. It's been a fascinating road for me. We've tried to develop. Because we were pioneering, we didn't have access to knowledge. So our attitude was we always took a step and made sure that step wouldn't sink us. We have kept that and that has stood us good down the years. We have adapted and we have changed. We've tried to develop. But one of the important things we've always done down the years is that we have maintained a margin. We've lost customers, but if we can't get a margin where we're selling, we don't sell. We'll cut production, we'll do all sorts of things. But we've always maintained a margin and we've tried to promote. We've gone out personally. I have done many, many promotions up and down the country. Really, it has stood us good.
So back in the 80s, when you realised there was a need for sheep's cheese, what made you realise that? Had you done research or what brought it to your attention that there was a need for the product?
Yeah. At the time, I was doing a diploma in small business management in UL. And part of that diploma course, I did a project on the feasibility and development of a sheep dairying enterprise in Ireland. So my research done, I knew there was a niche. What I didn't realise was the amount of effort that was involved. Once we got in, Deirdre comes from more of a business background than I do, but I always felt that the only one that would stop me if the bank pulled the plug. So the door closed, you kept going until another door opened. You can imagine trying to develop a sheep's cheese in Ireland in the late 80s. We just kept at it, we kept going. Nothing was going to stop me unless the banks just called in their borrowings.
Do you remember when you produced your first cheese?
Oh, I'll never forget it. Yeah, and I also remember the first sale, I think it was into Limerick in January 89, and it was a fantastic moment. With the benefit of hindsight, we didn't have a clue what was involved. And I don't think that was necessarily a bad thing, because if we knew everything, we wouldn't do it at all. So we gradually got in. I remember we started in the places like Roche Stores, who are no longer in Limerick. We went to the upmarket, the McCambridges in Galway of this world, the Avocus on the Pig's Back in Cork, all the real speciality. And gradually we learned our trade. And slowly now we're coming back to the super values. We'll always be niche. We'll always be quality. We're going into the health food sector. People with allergies, people off dairy products can eat our cheese because it's sheep's cheese. We do the tourist outlets. We do the Alby Caves. Fitzpatrick's, Innisdiamon, JJ Fields and Skibbereen, Scally's and Clonakilty. We do all the speciality outlets. And a huge effort goes into ourselves in making direct contact and trying to develop from there.
A very personal touch, a very personal 100%. Business. When you produced your first cheese, was that a plain ordinary cheese? And did you go on then to develop on that to flavour cheeses? Or how does that work?
The cheese we started with was very different from the cheese we have today. When we went out and did the promotions because we were making cheese. If people said, your cheese is a little sharp, it's a little salty, we immediately brought that back to our recipe. So anything you'll find in Cratloe Hills, you won't read it out of a book. It's all been trial and error. It's been hard work. It comes back to what we feel the customer is looking for.
So it's all about the customer.
It's all
and
about
do they still come to you with ideas?
They do, and it's still changing, and we're still evolving 33 years on. The way we do things, the way we evolve, they're always changing. What I would say is that our success is based on going out and meeting the retailer one-to-one. We've gone in and done the tastings, the promotions. Personally, we were amazed when COVID came. All we had was where we had built up a personal contact, and we managed to hold on to 70% of our customers. But it was where we had built a personal relationship, and every one of them promoted us, whereas we lost all the catering. We had two distributors, LaRouche and Palace Foods, and we lost them overnight. No fault of their own.
Of course.
Their customer base was gone. We felt we could still produce. We had two producers that we buy milk. They were starting production, their production year in March. So we said to them, we can only take milk from you once we can sell it. So in other words, we were full capacity. And we did that out of loyalty to them. But equally, and this is terribly important, the Irish people supported us. Many, for example, many of the super values paid us faster than they normally would because they understood. So while we were loyal to our suppliers, our customers were terribly loyal to us, and we'll always appreciate that.
So another critical element of the cheese making is getting the right raw material, getting the
100%.
Right cheese. And you're dealing with the suppliers on a face-to-face basis.
Yeah, and it's terribly personal. We're conscious, we test the milk. Anywhere along the business, we have personal contact. And we're able to talk to them, and we're able to plan make our budgets, how much milk we can take, and they depend on us, equally we depend on them.
What about the farm itself, and what's a normal day for Sean?
We have 180 acres. Our son is now farming. He's the fourth generation. He's milking 130 cows, and cows are his passion, his drive. I stopped milking in 88, but as you can see, I still have sheep, but they're commercial. I'm buying in the milk. Very soon, the sheep will be phased out completely, and Diarmaid will just drive the cow into it. That's his passion.
Things obviously have changed over the past 12 or 14 months. But go back to 2019. What was your normal day?
Normal day was we'd maybe leave here 6:30, 7:15, collect milk, be back here at 9:30. It would take us 8 hours. It would vary depending on the size of the batch. 8 hours to make the cheese. Then that would be pressed overnight into the brine the following morning. It would be coated, and some of that would be ripened for 12, 14 months before we'd sell it. So everything we do here is done by hand, is done with pride. I suppose there's a huge passion in what we do, and that comes across to promotion. Before COVID, maybe Friday and Saturday would go on tasting. The rest of the week would go on bookwork, maintain the cheese, and we also have people employed here.
When it comes to the tasting then, who are the experts?
Deirdre is very good at tasting, but also our son Michael has a great taste because he grew up with the cheese. He's gone his own direction now, but I always use Michael to test the cheese. At the end of the day, I'm very conscious of the customer's first reaction. When I offer a customer a sample, that first 5 seconds before they say anything, the expression on their face tells me a lot.
So you know exactly what the customer is looking for.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
And what about people's tastes? I mean, between the 80s and the 20s now, I think in Ireland we've started to appreciate food more.
100%.
And we're a bit more daring, aren't we?
Yeah, 110%. We're a lot more daring because we've travelled. Our taste buds are changing. It's evolving. It's evolving, but our base is increasing for that reason. Also, people are becoming more health conscious. People appreciate locally produced food more than previously. And if anything, if there's any positive in COVID, that's one of them. People are more appreciative of local produce and appreciate what we're doing.
County Clare has a great name for artisan food production, with many companies excelling in their own areas.
It has a great reputation and it's increasing. You know, you have chocolates, wild chocolates, Tom Graney, you have Mears, Centola, the Burn Smokers, all doing great work, Carrigari chutneys and all that. It's increasing and there's people coming along all the time and it's fabulous for Clare. Pat, we're not leaving it to West Cork. We're not letting it all go with West Cork. We're fighting our corner up in Clare as well.
It's not all about the Clonakilty black pudding.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
It's obviously a labour of love.
Yes, it is. It is, yeah, very much so. But as I say, it's... I don't know, but Deirdre has had to put up with me all those years. But it has been a passion, but it has been a great road. Not an easy road, by the way.
While Sean built his own production facility in Cratlow, the cheese making didn't actually start there.
It all started in an incubation unit in the food centre in Raheen, where we developed the cheese and we went through that process. Then in 1991, we got a grant under Leader One, and I will always appreciate it, Father Harry Bohan, for his leap of faith in us. At the time, I always felt he looked at the people behind the project and supported them rather than looking at the figures. At the time, he gave us £25,000 to develop and to build this, and it was a huge, huge step forward.
Okay, well, step inside, you might be able to explain to me then exactly what happens. You go and collect your cheese, bring it back here to the... what exactly do you call this then?
The processing hall. We collect the milk, bring it back to the vat path, we pasteurise, then we add, over 4 or 5 hour period, we add a starter and a rennet, then we cut, we drain, cheese goes into moulds. So you can see it's all handmade. It goes from there into the brine, into the ripening room, and it's left in the ripening room for up to 14 months. If you look at the bright yellow,
yes,
that is this year's production, and that is last year's production. Now, with age, the flavour improves. And we Irish, back in the 80s when we started, it was mostly all mild cheese we were selling. But now the majority of our cheese that we're selling is mature. As we discussed earlier, our tastes are changing, our taste buds are changing, and we're selling more and more cheese as mature rather than as mild.
So the older cheeses are the ones with the darker rind?
Yes, yes.
And they'd be up to 14 months old?
Up to 14 months old. If somebody's buying for children, they will generally buy the mild, but if they're buying for themselves, as time goes by, it's more and more mature cheese.
Okay. We were saying earlier, Sean, that it is a labour of love, it is a passion.
It is.
Would you do it all over again?
If
this was 1988, would you start again?
I would, yeah. I have no hesitation in saying that.
Despite all the sleepless nights and the
long, winding
road.
Absolutely. It's been a great road.
Coming up after the break, we'll meet Sean's wife Deirdre, who joined the business in 1988, and we'll travel to Quinn to find out more about the award-winning Mears pork products.
Atlantic Tales on Clare FM, in association with Nolo Loughlin Insurance Services, for all your general insurance and life assurance needs. Call Noel 086 845 9912. Visit o'loughlinfinancial.ie.
Welcome back to Atlantic Tales on Clare FM. Today we continue our feature on artisan food producers in Clare, visiting two of the county's best known companies. In the 1980s, Sean Fitzgerald had been working as a dairy farmer when he decided to move his focus to cheese production. That move arose out of a need to diversify, but the gamble and hard work paid off. Sean began producing sheep's cheese in Cratlow in 1988, and later that year married Deirdre, who then joined the enterprise and quickly developed a deep interest in cheese making.
We got married in September 88, so Sean had already started the enterprise and he was milking sheep at that stage. This was his first year doing it. So I came in then in September 88, and yeah, so it kind of went from there. I helped develop a recipe and that, and the cheese, and I did research and that, and I went to Holland on a cheese making course. We got an awful lot of information from there, and we modified the recipe and things like that, as Sean said, from the customers and their feedback that we were getting. So, you know, it did take some time to perfect things, really, you know, to get exactly what we wanted. Because there's a real art in cheese making, and I found it very interesting. At that time, there wasn't an awful lot of cheesemakers in Ireland at that time, and there was nobody in the Republic doing a sheep's cheese. So if you really want a good information, it really was a good place to go to Holland and do the research there. So, and they have a lot of equipment in that, you know, which we bought a lot of stuff from Holland as well. So we were able to kill two birds with one stone in a way. Yeah.
Being on the farm and working, I'm sure, long hours, long days and long weeks, and doing accounts and meeting customers, is it a tough business? Would you do it again?
It's a tough business, yeah, it is. Well, you know, I'm not sure really. It's hard to know when you don't know what you're getting into. It's easy going to things maybe and not have your eyes fully opened. It's only when you actually do things that you see that there can be an awful lot involved, and maybe a lot more than what you bargained for in the beginning, really. Yeah, but, you know, it's good. It's I think people have got more discerning over the years in their tastes in food, and that, and it was good from that point of view, because, you know, Irish tastes and that were changing so much, and it was good. It was kind of getting in a little bit ahead of the posse in a way. You know, at that time, very few people, Irish people, knew that you could actually milk sheep, or that you could eat a sheep's cheese. And in the early days, I used to do the promotions for Sean in the early days, but not at all after that, because then we had our children and so on, and I was busy. But I remember doing promotions and, you know, asking people would they like a sample of cheese. And if, you know, if I said, that, would you like a sample of sheep's cheese, they kind of shrug and kind of say, it doesn't sound right, you know, I get, you know, that doesn't sound right, I've never heard of sheep's cheese. And sometimes even people would have said to me, sheep's cheese, but you can't milk sheep, you see, and that kind of thing, you know. So, like, I think the Irish had to be educated almost that it was a lot more normal on the continent to milk sheep and to make sheep's cheese. And the French were very well aware of all these things, but we weren't in Ireland at that time. So, if you like, we had to, you know, there was a lot of work in kind of getting Irish people used to this new concept.
I was saying to Sean as well that the Irish palate has changed, and we're getting fussier, but we're eating stuff that we probably wouldn't have eaten years ago. Yeah. Sheep cheese, one of those things, do you believe?
Yes, and that, and the other thing is, I think people are a lot more health conscious, and, you know, they're more discerning in their tastes, and, you know, we have a lot more variety of foods than what we would have had way back, really, you know. And I think it's all good. So it was a good time, in a way, to be going into something like that.
If someone said to you then, Deirdre, sheep's cheese, well, what would I have with that? What would you recommend? What would you suggest? I suppose at this stage, after over 30 years, there are so many combinations and variations.
Yeah, I think sheep's cheese is very versatile. It really is. And there's so many benefits. You know, for one thing, it's a very good food. It's very good food because it's very high in vitamins and calcium and all these things. It has almost double the amount of all these vitamins and calcium that cow's cheese has. And, you know, I think it's very versatile in that you could do an after-dinner cheese board with it. You could do it as a starter, put it into phyllo pastry and do them nicely in the oven, and you then melt in your mouth. It's really nice. It's also a great convenience food because you can come in and you could do your cheese on toast or something like that. So, yes, I think it's very versatile, really.
The Meir family has been proudly making their award-winning pork product since 1975. Based on the outskirts of Quinn, the tradition of making quality puddings and sausages from family recipes handed down over generations has helped establish Meir's as one of Ireland's leading small producers in this sector. Like the Fitzgeralds in Cracklow, Meir's have won many awards for their products. It all started in Ennis with brothers Patrick and Ollie Meir, and now second generation Orla is continuing that tradition.
Dad started up at home. He started below in what they refer to as the sow field, a shed, rearing pigs. And from there it multiplied and he started rearing more. And then he built the piggery, which is still there in Kilfinum today. That was, say, later on in the 60s, say late 60s, he started the piggery. At the time, Uncle Ollie, his brother, his right-hand man, was in Kildare, and he was running a pig farm for a big butchers up there in Dublin. So Gormley's are the main butchers up in Dublin, and he was rearing the pigs out in Kildare, supplying the butcher shops all in Dublin. Dad then below in Kilfinum started sending the pigs up to Gormley's whenever they needed extra pigs, they'd be taken up. Then Mr. Gormley himself said to the two boys, why don't ye open up a butcher shop inside Ninnis, a pork shop, which is we still refer to today as the pork shop. So they did. So in 75, the 6th of June 1975, they opened up their first butcher shop across from the Queen's Hotel. And that was it. And Mr. Gormley came down and he was supposed to stay for a week. They kept him in the Queen's Hotel, but he had such crack and he was so liked that he actually stayed for 2 weeks. He loved County Clare. And then every summer he was coming down on his holidays. So he started off the two boys inside in the butcher shop. And that's how it all began, 5th of June, 1975.
But the lads certainly wouldn't have gotten into it unless they saw a market there as well.
They were forever buying and selling, wheeling and dealing. And the two of them together worked brilliantly. Dad is now passed. Uncle Ollie is still alive and well, 81. I won't get his age wrong. You know, they were, if you said, you know, do it, they do it the next day. So Mr. Gormley said, do you know, lads, you know, specialise, you know, do pork. So do nice sausages, do good pudding. Do burgers. He would have sold ice to the Eskimos, this man. So he stayed, he gave them all the tricks of the trade, he told them what to do, and he let them at it. And it was from there it all went. So they started making the sausages and puddings inside in the shop, and space got a little bit too tight in there. And Dad said to Ollie, do you know what? I'll take out the sausages and the puddings and I'll bring it to Quinn and produce them out there and make them. And you continue on with the butcher shop inside Ninnis. And that's the way they worked. Uncle Ollie opened a second shop then up in the market where we are today. The smaller shop closed then down in Abbey Street, the pork shop. Dad then started the business here in Quinn. So I was born, that was early 80s, I think he brought it here to Quinn. So I was small enough, but remember it as clear as day and loved it. So was bred, born and reared into it and presumed everyone made sausages and puddings like out in the back of their house.
At what point then, Orla, of course you grew up around all of this. As a young girl, had you an interest in all of this or were you just...
Absolutely. So I'd no mass in the school. I'm one of five. All the others were very bright. Not that I'm not, but I had no interest in school. And I loved the bit of activity outside and dealing with people outside. And it was all locals, dead and plied, and great characters like Seamus Brohan, Mikey Putt, who was... His name isn't Mikey Putt at all. It was Mike McMahon, but fondly known as Mikey Putt. I was, you know, brought up with all these characters and working outside, and I loved it. And every summer, sticking labels on and whenever I could. And after school then, I used to do the puddings for Dad. I used to do the packing at the very beginning when I was smaller. And then he'd do my few books for me then in the evening. So what a treat. And I had no mess at being inside. I hated inside. And still today, I hate being inside. Just let me out. And so yeah, but then sure, you get to an age as well then where you go, here now I'm 14 and you start getting notions, do you know, and I went out of it for a while, but I wasn't long coming back in.
Was this an outlet for you then? Was
totally.
This your way out of...
Oh, totally. Yeah, absolutely. I was a dinger at Peck and Puddins. And so, yeah, I loved it. Yeah, loved it. Couldn't. And I used then, when he decided that the sausages were coming out, I spent a summer inside in the shop learning to pack. Now, I was no older than 10, I'd say. I loved that. I used to cycle in and then he'd come and pick me up in the evenings. I'd learn to pack sausages with Angela Meir, who is Ollie's wife. And you don't do it wrong when Angela's teaching you, you know. So just, I was taught by the best. So I loved it. It just went from there. You know, life went on and the others weren't interested. You know, the boys were too much older. There's a big age difference between the oldest and the youngest of us. So they had no interest. They were kind of doing exams, as he'd say, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you were doing an exam, you were off the hook. You didn't have to work. But that didn't go for me at all. Regardless of whether I was doing an exam or not, I'd have gone out and worked, you know. So thoroughly enjoyed it.
Orla didn't give up the books completely, however, but did live overseas for a while. But as a young girl working with her father, did she ever think she'd one day be running the business herself?
No, not at all. Sure, I was going to conquer the world. What I wasn't going to do wasn't worth talking about. So I qualified. I did finish school and I did horticulture in Ungreenan, which I loved. And I travelled a bit with it. And then I went to London for a while, and then I met my husband, Barry, in England. We went on to Australia, and I was in Holland for a while working as well. And then, so I was away, I'd say, for about 10 years. And then one Christmas, I remember Christmas Eve, I was in Cornwall. We were living in Cornwall in England at the time, beautiful part of the world. I just, for the first time in my life, I just went, God, it'd be grand to be home now. That was it. The minute I opened my mouth and went, do you know what? You know, I've enough of this now. I think I'm old enough. I think I'll go home. So I told Barry, and he was like, yeah, grand. So I rang Dad and I rang Mem, and he's going, right, if that's what you want to do, if there was any of you that was going to do it, it was going to be you. And I went, sure, I'll come home. And that was that. Oh, it was very quick, signed, sealed, delivered. We had a house and we had a flat in London at the time. We kept it in case, you know, mm-hmm. We rented it out in case it all went horribly wrong. We didn't do anything harsh. We literally just packed the bag, came home. I stepped straight into the business. It was like I never left it. Like, they were absolutely delighted to see me, because I tell you, you do well to get someone that can pack sausages quicker than me. Flyer. They used to be delighted when they'd see me coming. Loved it. Thrived in it, meeting people again, out. Barry then eventually fed his way into it as well. He got a normal job at the time. We still kept the house in London just in case. And I'd say about a year later, we said, right, we're going to stay. Barry had gone on the road at this stage, so we'd put him on the road, the van he was selling. So it worked out well, because I suppose the sales side of it, I'd be awful at, and that's where he's good. So production would really be me, yeah. And being in the unit and sorting out problems and sorting out orders and stuff like that. And definitely the sales side is the hard part, yeah. Definitely.
And then, Orla, what's your normal day? What will your normal day, please God, be in a few months' time again?
I suppose we're very fortunate, because the unit is at home and I live right beside it. You know, on a good day, I could run to it in 2 seconds, you know. So the lads, I get up very early. I'm a bit of an early bird, and anyone that lives around here will spot me on the roads coming home. So I always go for a walk, and you sort everything out in that walk, don't you, in the morning? I do anyway. So you've your whole day set up, and then I'll come back, wake up the lads, get them off to schools, and then I'll hit into the unit. I'll have the ovens and everything turned on early morning, so that can delay people, have stuff sorted and ready to go. So when they come in, John and Maggie come in at 9, say 8:30, 9, production will start, and then we're inside producing. And it depends on what day it is. So Monday, sausages. Tuesday, pudding. Wednesday, sausages. Do you know, everyone has Thursday, packing. Friday, out. Do you know, so every day is different. And just head down. So when you're your own boss, it's great, you know, yeah. But you don't stop. So, and when it's a family business, there's always something being mm-hmm. done. So there's no like 9 to 5. That is, yeah. God above, I'd love a 9 to 5. It'd be a lovely job. But, you know, you have the flexibility, and we all do. You know, everyone has lives, and anyone that works for us knows that. You know, if you need to go to do something, off you go. If you need the day, off you hop. You know,
yeah.
We'll manage it. You know,
you learn the business, of course, from your dad and yeah. from your uncle as well. So you learn the best way possible. But have you implemented changes? Have you implemented your own stamp and your yeah. own ideas in the business?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, it wasn't me. It was, I suppose, around 2014, we'd done Food Academy with Super Value. So that was a huge eye-opener. And it was the first kind of bit of me doing it that we did. And there's a great woman in there. It's all done by the local enterprise office called Carmel Kinnear. And Carmel, great vision. You can go with a new product or an old product. So I went with the square pudding itself. And I said, look, we want to relaunch it. We want to start it. We'd kind of half-heartedly brought it back into the market, really. We hadn't, you know, we hadn't updated it. We hadn't updated packaging, nothing. So we'd put a lot of work into it ourselves, me and Barry. We had this lovely gold lamé bag and this idea that we're going to do this with it and everything. Brought it into Carmel. She went, that's horrendous. Where are you going? That's awful. And I thought, oh my God, how dare she? And came home bowling. That's the one thing you just learn from others. There was it was a 6-week course, and it was every like Tuesday night, and it was only supposed to be for an hour, but you'd nearly be there 6 hours by the time you'd have come out of it, and you'd be wrecked because they pulled the product apart. There was nothing wrong with the product itself. It stayed the exact same, but the size was wrong. It went from like a pound, from 454 gram down to 300 gram. The bag we were having it in, which we thought was lovely, the Go Lemme bag, went out the window. We went to a shrink bag, like a cheese bag. Mm-hmm. They changed that. Instead of putting a sticky label on it, which they were terrible, they were not fridge friendly, we put a wrap on it, where mostly our competitors were putting them into boxes. We were like, no, I don't want to be like all the others. So a great man called David from T&M Printing, great man, and he had great vision. He was like, oh yeah, I can do that. He could do everything at the time, like, but I went, yeah, but will it work? And we did. So I'd done the Super Value course. We went through and there were six of us. It's kind of like a Dragon's Den situation. There were six of us from County Clare that went forward for it. And they really do slate you and you're pulled to bits. And oh, I wasn't leaving the room until they gave me a shot at it. And they did, they took me on. They opened up Galway for us. They opened up Limerick for us. They opened up eventually Cork and Kerry, we went of our own accord, and it went from there. And they went, now, do you know what you need is you need an award to put on that lovely little pudding of yours, and then you're off you go, you'll be grand. So we did, and 2015 was our first awards, and that was Blossom of Héireann down in Dingle, and we'd done the Irish Quality Food Awards. I think the Irish Quality Food Awards were first, and we won best black pudding, best white pudding, and overall producer, all in one go. Sure, we were beyond ourselves. That was enough, like, if we never won that, that done us. We had the sticker to put on the packet.
Yes.
Went down to Blas, and we won again in Blas the same year. And it continued on from that. 2016, repeat, eat, sleep, repeat. If the black hadn't won, the white had won. It was the whole way through. And, oh, sure, look at people were calling us then. We didn't have to be knocking on doors anymore. It was great.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear more from Orla, but also her husband, Barry, whose own skills in the kitchen led Mears to produce more award-winning products.
Atlantic Tales on Clare FM, in association with Nolo Loughlin Insurance Services, for all your general insurance and life assurance needs. Call Noel 086 845 9912. Visit o'loughlinfinancial.ie.
Welcome back to Atlantic Tales on Clare FM. Today we continue our feature on artisan food producers in Clare, visiting two of the county's best known companies. The Meir family has been proudly making their award-winning pork product since 1975. Started by brothers Ollie and Patrick Meir, the business is now run by the next generation of the family. Receiving their first award was just a stepping stone to many more, but an important part of the company's continued development. Orla Meir.
Absolutely. And to get it out there, you know, to get your name out there and to get it recognised, you know, it's great. But you have to have, you know, that little stamp and that seal of approval out there. Totally improved. So at the time we were only in a handful of Dunn stores. I think we were in our local one. That opened up the doors for us. Dunn's came to us that night where we couldn't even get a meeting with some of the, you know, the big guys, you know, the Tesco's. They wouldn't even, you know, we didn't even know who our buyer was, you know, and then all of a sudden they were contacting us going, right, come up, you know, so it opened lots of doors. But as you say, you know, bigger your business, the bigger the problems. But no, we haven't gone stupid big. We've kept it tight that we're able to keep on top of it ourselves. And then I suppose 2018 was another big break for us when we won Best Small Producer for Dunn Stores, which gave us the opportunity to join the Simply Better range with Dunn's, which is massive. That's the one that everyone wants, you know, because they ask you, you don't ask them. They put you forward for it. And we had to pitch for that. And again, so I think there was five producers in Ireland picked and we were one of them. Like that, you were brought in and you were pulled apart. But I wasn't leaving that room until I got it, and we got it.
How has COVID then, Orla, affected the business?
For us, thank God, touch wood, where we've lost in certain areas, we've gained in others. So because we're very much so a food, you know, shops. So the Dunn's, the Tesco's, the Super Values, they've all done well out of it. And so we're fine. Now, obviously, we've dropped in other areas, but with our new range of sausage rolls now on board that we've started to make. So the cafes, so the established cafes, you're able to buy them cooked and ready to go. So that's kind of where we pulled back on other places where we lost out, maybe in deli counters, or, you know, we lost Dromoland Castle, we lost the, you know, the Old Ground. That's where we've been able to pull back. So just being able to, what's that word that everyone uses, pivot, I suppose,
yes,
at the time. But, you know, we lost out in our tastings. I'd be, you know, a Friday, Saturday, I'd always be on the road doing tastings. That's all gone. But then your sales for your stores have gone up naturally anyway, have increased. So thank God, you know, it hasn't affected us greatly.
It hasn't been too bad.
No.
And obviously looking forward to getting back on the road and doing your tastings,
yeah,
and so forth. Isn't County Clare an amazing county for niche businesses like yourselves? And we have so many wonderful producers around the county, in Clare.
Yeah, we actually don't realise what we have on our doorstep. And I think people are beginning to now realise, you know, that now that we've been stuck in our own 5Ks, and hopefully now I think we're opening up our county again, we'll be able to go back up to the Burn next week. Great. Clare is a great spot for producers. We have no idea what we have on our own doorstep. And maybe COVID has kind of let us open our eyes to that now. And people have been great, and people have been shopping local and helping out the small producer. There's a lot of small producers here, as you said, and there's more than just salmon and cheese here. You know, there's a lot of different little people, the gems. You have, Niall down in Carrigerry, you know, he's lovely produce. Coots, the little bakery, have been great to us, you know.
Yes.
And he's been flying the flag for all the small producers in County Clare, you know, great man, you know, and Mary. They've been great to us, you know, and staying tight, staying local, keep it within, you know, we'll manage. We're a great, great little county, love it.
After moving back to Ireland with her husband Barry, Orla returned to the family business while Barry worked in Lahinch for a time before joining Mears Pork Products, taking to the road delivering and meeting customers. Was it an easy decision for Barry to make the permanent move to Ireland?
I had no idea what I was letting myself in for, I'll be totally honest with you. We kind of didn't have any plans, really. Orla just wanted to come back home. We'd always said that if we ever had children, we were going to come back to Ireland and bring them up because of the education system that was over here. So we kind of, we actually came over on holiday, believe it or not, in, I think it was 2004. And myself and my sister and my brother-in-law and Orla came to Ireland on holiday. And we spent a week in Lahinch. I remember because it was just when the no smoking in pubs ban had just come in. So my brother-in-law and myself both decided to stop smoking at that time. And that was quite novel. And we spent, as I say, a week up in Lahinch. And we wasn't sure what we were going to do. We knew we were coming back to Ireland the following year. And Orla's dad, Patrick, he had a decision whether to rebuild the unit and to make room so that he could produce sausages and puddings the same day. So at that time, they said you can't do both, you could do one or the other. So we chose sausages. So I kind of said to Orla, there was new units just being built in Lahinch, where Kennedy's Spa is now, another good customer of ours. And next to that, there was an empty unit. And we looked at it and we said, why don't we start making puddings ourselves? Let's take what Granny Mia used to have and what Tad Mia used to have, and we'll do it, and we'll come back, and we'll relight the pudding business. It was an off-the-wall idea, and I always remember going in, and it was €1,000 a week to rent the property, so you're looking $52,000 a year to rent a unit up in Lahinch. But that's a hell of a lot of puddings we're going to have to sell to make that happen. So look, it was pie in the sky. We went back to England after our holiday, and it didn't take long for Orla's dad to make the phone call and say, I'm extending the unit. So that's what happened. So he said, I'm extending the unit, I'm going to bring the puddings back, and will you come back and help me? So obviously that was Orla's decision. We were coming back anyway. So that kind of just got Orla a job. I just needed something. So when I worked for the McCarthys up at the Falls Hotel, and then I landed a job down in Kenny's Bar in Lahinch. Really good friends, and that was a really enjoyable, probably 12 to 18 months. We had great crack, and I don't think there's, even now I go to Lahinch and, you know, most people know me, and I know them. It's just a great small community. Kenny's Bar, great place to go for music and stuff, and we go back and we're still very good friends with them. So that's what we, in 2016 then, I went on the road and started delivering to the shops in and around County Clare.
It wasn't just about being on the road, delivering to and meeting customers for Barry. Some experimenting in the kitchen one evening led to another award-winning product for the business. How did that come about?
Yeah, Ola was having a few girlfriends round back in 2017. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm going to make some sausage rolls. So lovely, I'll give you a hand. And what we didn't put into the sausage rolls was unbelievable. We make our own sausage meat. So we've got a good base. We brought some roll-out pastry. Oh, I said, what should we put in them? She said, well, we'll put a black pudding in one of them and we'll put a white pudding in another one. And I said, well, what have we got in the fridge? And there was raw onions, there was tomatoes, there was Ballymaloe relish. You name it, I just went, well, that could go well, that could go well. And we put it all together and we had half a dozen women round and they were just falling over themselves. They couldn't believe how nice they tasted. And it was literally, we just threw them together. I went, let's see how we get on. So what we did then was we got such a good reaction that we said, right, okay. The LEO, the new market had opened just across from Noel Mears Butchers, which has been there for the last 30 odd years in the market. They just built the new building. They wanted to start a new market every week. And we said, well, look, sometimes you have to be careful with your business because our sausages and puddings are in 80 to 90 shops, 100 shops in and around County Clare, Limerick and Galway. So what you don't want to do is ruin that business that you've got with them. So we wanted to come up with something different. And that's where the sausage rolls just fitted in. So we started to put the sausage rolls together and we were selling them in the market. And the response we got was just unbelievable. We asked a couple of chefs around what goes with chorizo, what goes with black pudding. And so we came up with black pudding caramelised onion. We came up with the chorizo and smoked paprika. And recently we've just added a fresh chili. So a chili with a pandano cheese that melts on top. In 2017, as I say, we started the market. So we entered the two flavours down into Blosna Heron. And to my big surprise, the chorizo and smoked paprika won gold. And I was just about to walk off the podium with my trophy and a certificate to say that I'd won. And he said, and silver goes to Mearsport Products for their black pudding caramelised onion. And I didn't get very far. And I was about to walk off again. And he said, and best in market is Mearsport Products. And no, it was kind of, we were there for about 20 minutes on the podium having our pictures taken. And we'd won, we had a clean sweep, which was just, it was unbelievable, to be honest with you.
And it was all very timely for the FLA as well in 2017.
The FLA came along, so we got invited to run a stall in the FLA, so that was good. So we started, we tried the sausage rolls there. We were selling them, we cooked them, and then we'd warm them up if people wanted them warm. And we were right in front of the stage in the market square. And yeah, we knew we were onto something good. But I think in the good Mears tradition, we're not slow. We're quite methodic about it. And we're taking our time bringing them to market. There's a bit of a buzz at the moment. We've been lucky enough that Dodi Cafe up in Lahinch last summer, she makes everything herself. Absolutely beautiful cafe, beautiful people, make great food. And she wasn't sure whether she wanted to do them or not, but she knew how good they were and she gave them a chance. And they've really took off for us. So we've just done a little bit of work on the unit. We just put a new floor down and soon we're going to ramp up production of the sausage rolls and take them further. And it was all really the LEO, the council with the market, and it's really gone from there. And as you said, the FLA really helped us, and we've took them to Dingle and they've sold well in Dingle, and we've done our market research and they're good, they're really good. And yeah, the future's sausage rolls, hopefully.
If life is a river and your heart is a boat, and just like a water baby, baby, born to float. And if life is a wild wind that blows way on high, then your heart is a million dying to fly. And I've seen heaven in your eyes. And if life is a barroom in which we must wait, round the man with his fingers on somehow this black night feels warmer for the spark, warmer for the spark to hold us till the day when fear will lose its grip and heaven has its way. Warmer for the spark, warmer for the spark to hold us till the day when fear will lose its grip and heaven has its way, and heaven has its way. I've seen heaven in your eyes.